Is it? Okay. Hey guys, it's Eric RPG, and I'm back once again with another Contra retrospective episode. And I'm joined once again by
David McBurney, Fama Master, Contra debutante.
And we are here to talk about the latter day Contra games.
They're not as bad as they could be. I meant dilettante, but debutante's funnier sounding, so we're going to leave with that.
We'll be covering the last four Contra games that were released until Konami decided to stop developing games and license its properties out to either pachinko makers or mobile developers.
Listen, if Contra Pachinko makes perfect sense if you just assume that all of the little pachinko balls are actually bullets. There. It's solved.
I think a pinball machine would have made a lot more sense, but...
Yeah. But
that never
happened. Listen, it all makes more sense than, like, Metal Gear or Castlevania Pachinko.
Yeah, no erotic violence.
Insufficiently erotic for violence.
But I guess you can't attack aggressively. But our first game is Contra Saturn Soldier for the PS2. Released in Japan as Shin Contra.
It's back.
Yeah.
It's new.
It's the true Contra, apparently. Because it's Shin.
Yeah, I presume it's using the true kanji there. It might be saying new, but...
Well, I guess it's true because there's Neo Contra. But developed by Team Kurujuicy.
What a good name.
Yeah.
I presume that was just like an internal name for that team because it is an internal Konami game.
It says Kijirushi on Wikipedia, but I think that's actually a typo. Either that or the game has made the typo because I think in the game it's just Jirushi.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they couldn't fit the other letters in. I don't know. Anyways, it is back to two-dimensional after the last two games for the PS1 were not.
Yeah, and it's back to Nobuyuki Nakazato, which was also not involved with those.
Yeah. And this is where I think Nakazato has proved that he's certifiably insane.
Oh, I mean, obviously.
But because not only has the plot taken a deep end, but the tone of the game has gone super grim dark.
Yeah, that might actually, like, there's a lot I don't like about Shattered Soldier, but how grim it is just, oh, come on, game.
But, okay, it has multiple endings, but the ending is based on your performance in the game, because there are, like C to, I think, no, D to A, S ranking. And that, and your ranking depends on how many lives you lost and how much of a boss you've defeated, plus the extra enemies you run along the way that aren't, like, regular grunts that just keep coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to not only deal one credit clear, you also have to make sure you destroy everything.
Yep, sometimes, which will force you to sit through a boss for longer, because if you kill the parts of it attached to the parts you haven't destroyed yet, those parts go away, you can't get the hit rate.
Mm-hmm. So you have to get... So not only have to kill everything, but you have to kill everything a certain way.
Yeah, and you have to do it in one credit, because every time you lose a percentage point for every death you take.
They fixed this in Neo Contra by allowing at least 2% leeway, but which is stupid because they should have been way more. Or they
should have been way more.
Or they should have just done with the ranking system entirely.
Like, you could have, or even just like have the ranking system do something other than if you haven't S ranked all the levels, you can't play the last two levels.
Yeah, because like that's the thing you have to do in Shatter Soldier. That's something you don't have to do in Neo Contra. And the extra ending for getting an S rank is not worth it, but it's funny.
Yeah. Man, not a big fan of
the extra
of, like...
ending for this game is also not worth it, but it's also funny.
Yeah. Like, the thing about Shattered Soldier is that, like, unlike Legacy of Orisi, the Contra Adventure, it's not grotesquely incompetent, but I don't agree with basically any of the design decisions that it made.
Yeah, let's hire Akira Yamaoka to do the soundtrack and make it super butt rock.
What's even weirder is that because the rest of the game is trying to move away from the butt rock aesthetic. Like Neo Contra also has a super butt rock soundtrack, but it makes perfect sense because Neo Contra is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, like, everything else about it is trying to be grimdark, and you're very sad about the fact that player two is now the villain or whatever.
It also does away with power-ups. You've got three weapons with alternate firing modes.
I actually kind of like.
Yeah. Because then you don't have to worry about picking up weapons. But the alternate fire modes have, like, a brief charge time. With, like, it's kind of like Mega Man, where, like, there's a small charge shot and then there's an actual full charge shot. But, like, the length of time between them is very small.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the machine gun fires out a pod that shoots bullets in, like, a bunch of different directions. So it's kind of like the spread gun.
But very, very slow.
And kind of pointless.
Yeah, there's not a lot of situations where that...
And then there's the flamethrower, which does a supercharged shot, kind of like the Mega Buster. And it kind of replaces the laser because it shoots through other objects.
Mm-hmm.
But
the base flamethrower range is terrible, so...
And there's the grenade launcher, which the better charge shot of that is the homing missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Which also kind of act like a spread gun because there's lots of them.
Yeah.
And it's a way more powerful version of the home shot from the other games.
Yeah, like the weapon system is the bit I have the least quibble with. They're well thought out. They're like, the game is very clearly designed. Like, certain things will be much easier if you work out what weapon is good against them. But, like, it's such a weird game.
The most powerful in the weapon is, of course, the charge shot. But, let's see. The game has lots of callbacks to Hardcore and Contra 3 specifically, although there are some original Contra callbacks.
Yeah, it feels very in step with, like, Hardcore's very boss rush style as well.
In fact, like, one level is just a boss. No, like, two levels are just a boss rush.
Two out of, like, seven.
Because, it also has a Mega Man-like structure where you can pick one of the first four levels at your leisure to do first.
Yeah.
And then you have the last two levels, which are a level and then an actual just boss rush.
Yeah.
Which you can't get to if you don't play on a difficulty higher than normal. And the game technically has a save system, but you can't actually save your progress. You can only save replay data for, like, practicing other levels you've beaten.
It's just, like, it's like they were aware that they had to change Contra with the times, and all of the choices that they made are just absolutely head-scratching.
But the plot of the game is something else. Let's see. The year is 2642, so that's a few years after the Alien Wars. Or even the Hardcore, actually. But as to why Bill Reiser was missing from that game is because of the plot of this game. Basically, they are sent on a mission, Bill and Lance, and Lance gets killed, and Bill's framed for letting the world get messed up. So he's sentenced to a cryo sleep. Punishment of 10,000 years.
There are so many questions to start with. What is that a punishment for? He's going to wake up and just be alive.
I guess the punishment is he gets to miss out on everything, and maybe forget who he is.
I don't know. That's a problem with a lot of, like, sci-fi, where it's like your punishment is being alive generations from now when it's someone else's problem.
I think the official reason is, like, they put him in the cryo sleep so they can wake him up and fight wars for him later, which is what happens in the next couple of games.
It's just gonna keep happening.
But anyways, this is 5 years later after that event happened, and a new terrorist organization called Blood Falcon Because we had Red Falcon. Now it's Blood
Now
Falcon.
It's even more.
And its Superhuman Commander is, we find out, is actually Lance, because he somehow survived. But you're like working for this organization called Triumvirate, which you find out later are the actual bad guys.
I'm shocked that an organization with that name might in fact be villainous.
Because you find out after you kill Lance for real this time, before he dies, he tells you that they're like some big head honchos that want to use this thing called a relic that they stole from some place called the Sanctuary in space on Jupiter that they mined because they've traveled to space, I guess. But the aliens came and attacked because they wanted to get it back, and that's why the alien wars happened.
Also, since you're out of player two, your new player two is this robot lady named Lucia.
Yeah. And she's comparable to 2B from Nier Automata.
I mean, like, she fits in the, like, anime, like, sexy robot girl archetype.
And after you find out that out, you go to the final level and you take care of Triumph for it, and they try to use the power of the relic, and it's too powerful for them, and then this light form gets created, and then you have to kill it. And it reminds me a lot of the fight with the final battle of Wild Arms 3. And also, this game came out before Lamalana, and Lamalana's final boss kind of probably ripped this idea off a little, because it goes through several different phases of evolution, only in this game it goes backwards.
It's all just an EVO, the Search for Eden ripoff.
Or, like, ripping off Parasite Eve's final boss. Where it progressively looks less human, but apparently it's more evolved.
As you do.
Yeah. Like, it goes from a humanoid-looking thing to a tadpole-looking thing to a cell to, I guess, mitochondria?
Finally.
Various tiny mitochondria surrounding it that you have to destroy to get to it. And then you have to get on a plane, and much like Contra 3, you have to take care of it while the rest of the place is blowing up.
Contra as you do.
Yeah. And then, like most Contra endings, you and Lucia jump off the plane and are greeted to a crowd of applause.
Congratulations.
And it has a special message of "you're the best" or something like that, basically.
I can't believe you spent your time doing this.
But this game was it's headed by Konami Computer Entertainment Tokyo, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
by that point, Konami had sort of pulled back on a lot of their like outer branches.
Yamoka wasn't the only one who made the music for this. There's also Soda Fujimori, who I don't know what else he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, we have Neo Contra, which is even more batshit crazy.
That game is nuts, but I kind of love it.
Also, they renamed the team Neo Kijirushi.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's just logic there.
Yeah.
But also, this game takes place 4444. It's the death year.
Yeah, so he went to cybernetic sleep for like about 1,300 years.
It's fine.
Probably was asleep for that long, huh? Well, I think in between somewhere, like between there and Rebirth, he got woken up. But you're asleep for so long, you forget what you did previously.
That's how you do.
Yeah. But, they added on to the plot of this game, but apparently Earth's become a prison planet by an organization made up of people called the Neo Contra, which is why the game's called Neo Contra.
If you have not seen the cutscenes to this game, just go look them up, because they're nuts. They're completely insane. Also, all the bosses have named themselves Blank Contra.
Yeah, Plant Contra, Pheromone Contra. yes, good. We learn who Pheromone Contra is actually Lucia, who's working for the bad guy for some reason.
The hot robot Contra. That's what we gotta live with.
More like she, like, gave up and decided to join the winning team. Because she couldn't resist the bad guys.
It's just insane. They're the four Hell Contras. It's really insane.
And let's see, the other Contras, I forget. Animal Contra, which is a dog.
Yeah, you do.
And then there's Master Contra, who is apparently Bill Reiser, and you're actually a clone.
So that is like Metal Gear Acid levels of what?
Only he's not actually Bill Reiser. He's another clone of Bill Reiser using his DNA, but combined with an AI. The real Bill Reiser is this guy who calls himself Mysterious G because he doesn't want people to know he's Bill Reiser. And he somehow survived over the last 4,000 years, presumably because he's injected alien DNA into his system, much like Lance did to survive.
Also, your partner is a samurai.
Only unlike Lance, he's actually aged because I guess it's not perfect.
It's fine.
Or he did it when he was later in life.
And like I said, your player two in this one is a samurai for some reason. Don't think about it.
Who's melee. And try finding the final boss's first phase with the melee character in time before, because you're on a timer for some reason.
And only for true Doom murder heads.
And he has a homing function much like Bill does. Because like if they got they kept the grenade weapon, but they dropped the third weapon and made it a homing missile only, which apparently has a like a count. It reloads really quickly, but you can only use so many at once. But like they figured this game, let's do what Appalooza did with Legacy of War and see the Contra Adventure. Only let's do it better.
Yeah, like, this game's not perfect, but it's actually kind of, it's pretty good, like...
Also, it's got voice acting and Steve Bloom's in it.
Yeah, there's, like I said, go watch all those cutscenes, they're crazy.
And Jim Lee did the artwork for the box of every version of this game, actually. Or the US and PAL versions, not the Japanese one. I don't know what the Japanese one looks like.
It's actually a pretty good box art, though.
But,
the Japanese one's actually hideous. It's this awful 3D render. Why?
It's like the reverse of what usually happened in back then.
Yeah, I don't know how this happened.
But, anyways, you've got a new maneuver, which is the dash, which is a dash roll, and then the spin, which blocks all attacks. Unfortunately, the dash doesn't actually have iframes, so it's kind of worthless.
Yeah, like, it's mostly to, like, if you know something's coming, you can sort of get out of the way a little faster, but it's not that useful. I think it's also partially that they just didn't want to deal with a proper third dimension of movement, so they didn't want you to have a jump button, so they had to give you something else.
I presume that Rogue Core is going to have actual dash mechanic, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
That gives you iframes.
This game still has the hit rate mechanic. It's slightly less of a raw boss rush than the prior game.
Yeah.
So, it's like, it's not perfect, but there's not anything else that really plays like it, and it's got certainly a style to it.
Yeah.
If you ever wanted to fight a plant cyborg version of giant baby man Tetsuo from the end of Akira, that's also in
also here. you could choose from different weapon sets to start the game with, but
but
the ones I just talked about are the default ones, and like apparently there's a type F configuration that gives you the laser and the ripple laser, which are weapons from Gradius 5.
Yeah, it's just Gradius just hanging out.
But there's 7 stages. And, like, before you can choose which of the first 4 you can tackle first.
Mm-hmm.
And the encounter with Plant Contra is absolutely hilarious because, like, you and Mysterious G, because I guess they were warning a House of the Dead for some reason.
Suffer like G did.
He gets ignored, and you basically just... Because apparently he didn't die when... Bill killed him, so he's pissed that you haven't been paying attention to him up until now. And then that's why you proceed to fight them.
Yeah, like you do.
But, if you play on easy, you get 30 lives. But it only lets you play the first four levels.
Yeah, which... tragic series tradition.
But you do get 7 continues and 5 up to 5 lives on normal mode. Because you can choose how many lives to start with.
Yeah, it's just an actual amount of lives that you could theoretically, like, get fairly into the game with.
But, like I said, it's... You don't have to S rank to get to the last few levels, unlike the last game, so that's nice. But you miss out on the absolutely insane secret ending.
Like, I'm willing to accept that, like, there's something hidden behind that, so that feels less irksome to me than, yeah, get back, maybe come back when you're not a chump, and we can talk about playing the last few levels, so. Yeah. You know, just go look that up on YouTube if you don't have the patience. Mm-hmm. I think this and Shattered Soldier were both released on PSN at some stage for PS3.
And the only way to play on PS4 is through PS Now, I think.
Yeah, I love the idea of doing that. No, I don't want to think about that. But yeah, I don't think they were ever PS2 on PS4 at any stage. They've not been re-released in any fashion.
Well, unless we get a Contra Collection 2 and it includes them.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure what else you'd put on it.
So we could do these, we could do Hardcore Uprising, but what else would you put on there? Contra 4 would be hard, technically, because it's requires dual screen to work right, unless they want to expand the screen size to allow you to see everything.
Like you can make Contra 4 work without the dual screens, because it's basically just using the second screen as more resolution. But... Rebirth. You would also include Rebirth.
If you did it that way, they could get rid of the pesky gap between the screens.
Yeah, you would lose the screen gap, which would actually make it easier.
Especially in the last level where there's a bunch of shit going on.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the plot to this is insane. You should watch a playthrough instead of actually play the game, because I wouldn't recommend playing the game. Unless you're that curious. But like I said, Jaguar is actually a melee character, but he does have like a homing like attack, because like you have to have it at the final battle. So it's like him just like swinging his sword really hard and doing like a wind cutter attack, I think. But that's his only projectile attack in the game.
Unless you start getting into... I think some of his weirder loadouts might have more projectiles, but yeah.
But, he, like, if you beat the game, you get an alternate costumes for Bill and Jaguar.
It's, I'm fond of this game, even if it's not amazing, but it's worth remembering at the very least.
Also, Bayo Balingsby did the voice of Genbei Jaguar Yagyu, who's his full name, who's a black samurai Contra.
Fantastic.
The game describes him as a mysterious dark-skinned humanoid alien. Okay.
A lot to unpack.
You mean he's not just a black human?
No, that'd be silly. Humans are, like, if he were a human, he'd be in the prison planet.
But, let's see, Doug Stone did Mystery G. I don't remember who he is. I think I remember Kirk Thornton, but Bob Papenbrook.
Bryce Papenbrook? Papenbrook?
Pepin, that's Papenbrook, not Papenbrook.
Ah. Yeah.
But Master Contra is voiced by Stephen J. Bloom.
Yeah. Certainly a better voice track than Contra had had before, by virtue of the fact that it is one and it's not horrendous.
Yeah. Or the fact that previous games didn't have voice tracks, really.
Yeah. It's one or the other, really. But it's better than you would expect out of a voice track for Contra. Mm-hmm.
And, well, I think the only other game that will have actual voice acting is the upcoming RoCore.
Yeah, that's going to be something.
But Contra 4 was made for the Nintendo DS by WayForward, because they went back to Western developers for some reason.
But this time they were good ones.
Oh, right, because Konami was purging all of its development teams at this point.
Yeah, like, I have no idea what Nakazato's been doing in the past 15 years, but I can't imagine he spent the entire time at Konami, because he's just totally MIA
this,
for basically...
Yeah, this game came out 3 years after Neo Contra did in 2007.
Yeah.
And, let's see. It's probably one of the first games WayForward did as a commission from another company.
They did a lot. It's probably the first one anyone played that cared. Like,
I remember
they did a lot of licensed games.
I remember they
did
like a Barbie DS game.
Yeah, they did one that's sort of like the Lost Vikings.
And another Barbie game for the GBA.
There's so many licensed Game Boy Color games on this list, and PC games from the late 90s. It's terrifying.
But I'm talking about DS specifically. I think this might have been the first one.
Oh, for DS, let's see. They had done an American Dragon Jake Long game.
Mm.
Oh, and they did that Looney Tunes Duck 'em Up game that's actually quite cute. And a Shrek game. I wish I was making that up.
Well, out of all the people to do a Shrek game, I'd rather have them do it.
Yeah, I mean, they put their heart into it like they always do.
Mm.
Oh, that reminds me, I need to pick up River City Girls when that comes out.
Yeah. Is that getting a retail release?
I think there might be like a limited one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something like that got announced. But, yeah, this was one of the first things I recall hearing about WayForward doing, other than people being like, okay, yeah, Limited Run is doing a River City Girls physical edition.
Also, the plot of this is apparently 2 years after Contra 3 Alien Wars. So
yeah,
so which makes me wonder like what Bill is also doing in this game.
I mean, don't think too hard.
He is also the main character, one of the main characters in this game. But like, they never mention the plot of this game and the other ones. I mean, not just because this game came out afterwards, but also it's hard to fit in the canon anywhere.
This game kind of does its best to actually define what the canon is. It's the first one to, like, explicitly go, here's a Contra timeline, these ones don't count. And it, like, it keeps basically all of the ones that were developed in Japan and weren't called Arkhound at any point in their development,
yeah.
So...
But, like, you're fighting Black Viper again, so,
Yeah, like, if you were to look at the game's internal timeline, it's been years since I've looked at it, but I am sure that it has some sort of justification within itself for why. I don't terribly care, but it does, so...
But, like, apparently Operation C isn't canon, despite the fact that it also had Black Viper, because this is apparently the first time you're dealing with him, canonically.
Yeah, I think that was one of those situations where it's like, Operation C always sits in this sort of like, is this a port of something else or not? And the answer is, well, we just won't count it.
It's a pseudo... its own thing, plus a remix of sorts.
Yeah, like, it's such a... It's. I think it was deemed weird enough to be kind of easy to write out.
But... Anyways, basically, you're fighting Black Viper, but unlike Contra 3, you're going backwards. You're starting at the place of the original Contra in the jungle, and you work your way back to the destroyed city.
Which is cute. I appreciate that. Man, I remember this game coming out, and the immediate response was, how on earth do I get 30 mans in this? This is really hard.
But, And they also make reference to Mad Dog and Scorpion, because, like, Scorpion is a character in this game, and he's a black dude.
Yeah, you can actually swap to any of Jimbo and Sully, Mad Dog and Scorpion, or Bill and Lance. They're just, like, palette swaps, but it's amusing.
And you can even play as the Probotector robot guy.
Yeah, you know, the Probotector.
But much like Contra 3, in order to beat this game, you have to play on a difficulty higher than easy.
Yeah.
Which is annoying.
I remember getting to the end on easy, and like easy is a good way to train up to get better, but like it probably would have been wise for them to make it clear. This game, I think it took people a few years to realize it does have a 30 life code, but it's really finicky.
Yeah, I never knew that, and that would have helped because I would have used it.
Yeah, like the way that it works is that you put in the Konami code, but all of the directions are put in by tapping like the top, bottom, left, and right of the top, bottom, left, and right edge of the touch screen. And start, you tap the center. So, like, obviously no one figured it out because it's fiddly and kind of ambiguous.
Maybe I'll do that next time I play it on the DS emulator, and then I could say when I got low on lives.
Yeah, it gives you, I think, 30, a little more than 30 lives. It's like 34 or something, but...
Yeah. This game uses, like, a weapon power-up system. You can carry up to two weapons, but you can also double up on a weapon and make it stronger.
Yeah, the easy mode default just gives you the stronger version of a weapon every time you pick up a power-up, which is one of the other reasons that that mode is much easier.
But it makes really good use of both screens. But the game's hard as hell. It's, like, really hard.
Oh, it's super hard. Like,
I didn't know you were this masochistic.
They wanted to do Contra right, and that meant making it really hard. I think they probably would have been better off tuning it a little easier so that people who were just nostalgic for Contra
could like
play
referencing it. Hardcore and giving us health points.
That might have been nice, wouldn't it? It's a really fun game, but you really have to commit to it if you want to actually see the ending.
Yeah. But
there's some issues with the implementation of the second screen. You will occasionally get blasted by something that went off screen but was still there.
And some of the enemies have larger hitboxes than they should have.
Yeah, but I think overall it's... If you want a follow-up to Contra 3, it's probably about as direct of one as you'll get.
Mm-hmm. But, there was a soundtrack for this game release, but it was only available in Japan for some odd reason, despite it being a Western-developed game.
Contra, Dual Spirits!
You'd think it would show up on Jake Kaufman's Bandcamp page, but no. It might be up on there now, but it wasn't up there originally.
It wasn't. Yeah, but hey, it's Jake Kaufman music, so it's worth tracking down.
But hopefully we can either get a remaster report on this on another collection. Konami, what are you doing?
Yeah. It deserves to... reappear. It's a really fun game. I feel like you could probably get Way Forward to port it to just about anything, and they would happily do so.
I mean, they did that with inexplicably on all the platforms for the Mighty Switch Force collection.
Yeah,
oddly left out Mighty Switch Force 2 Hose It Down, instead opted for the original Mighty Switch Force. With the sprites that looks ugly on a big TV. the Wii U port of Mighty Switch Force 2 looks better just by virtue of they figured out how to make sprites look good.
I'd never even remember that had happened. I'll have to look that up. Switch Force was
the last Contra game on the list, Contra Rebirth. Also, there was one thing I wanted to mention, but the Contra game for mobile I was thinking of wasn't Resurrection, it was called Evolution, which is not really an evolution because it's a lie, because there's pay-to-win mechanics in the game.
We've evolved into something much worse. Much, much worse.
And one thing I'd like to mention is like the arcade version of Contra, Super Contra, has a boss that shows up in Contra 3, so that's a nice Easter egg, because... Like, if you'd only played the NES ports, you wouldn't have known that, because that boss was removed from that part of the level. Instead, we get, like, this mid-boss that was, like, this weird walker-type thing, and then you end up fighting the giant base installation with all the guns, and then you go to the fourth level, which is a new level.
I have made the tremendous mistake of looking up Contra Evolution. I had forgotten precisely what... cheap-looking mobile graphics do to games with art styles like Contra. This is awful.
Anyways, Contra Rebirth is weird but interesting because it's a game that was developed by M2, which is usually known for doing ports. And
yeah, they did all the Rebirth games. It was
a WiiWare title, which unfortunately you cannot download it anymore.
Yep, all three of the Rebirth games are gone.
You didn't get them then, you can't get them now.
Unless you want to ask Uncle Internet, who might have a copy of them, if you're willing to look.
Yeah, good luck trying to figure out how to load WADs on. I've never figured it out, how to load WADs on the emulator.
I've gotten Dolphin to run WiiWare games. It's not impossible.
I just need better instructions, because the instructions I read on the internet were garbage.
Yeah, I'll see if I can... Like, I had to do that for Castlevania at one point, so I'll see if I can maybe help you with that eventually.
Or they could just do an HD remaster of all three Rebirth games. That'd be nice.
Wouldn't that be fun, given the amount of projects they've been throwing M2's way anyway?
Mm-hmm. But, that would open up spots for other Contra games, even the shittier ones, for the next collection.
Finally, Legacy of War gets its due.
But, you can play with the standard Wiimote or the Pro Controller, or Classic Controller, rather, what it was called back then.
You should probably go with the Classic
Controller. Or the Nintendo GameCube Controller, which I did not know you could use.
Huh. Yeah, I'd probably go with the Classic Controller, but...
Or, like, I wonder if you could use the Game Boy GameCube adapter with the Wii U if you played it on the Wii mode.
No, I don't want to think about that at all. Oh, that's too much. That's too much. Technology has defeated itself.
Sorry. Anyways, I have problems, I guess. You have got a couple playable characters. Initially, there's only two. Bill Reiser, of course.
Yes.
And then Genbei Yagyu from Neo Contra, because he's here.
Just hanging out for a bit.
But two additional characters, Brownie, who isn't the same Brownie from Hardcore. It's actually a female variant of Brownie.
Sure.
Yeah, and Plissken, who, yes, is named after the character from Metal Gear Solid 2.
Who is in turn named after the character from freaking Escape from New York. What is going on, Konami?
But unlike those, it's an actual lizard man.
I'm just imagining Nobuya Nakazato and Hideo Kojima having, like, a freaking, like...
And much like...
Escape from New York watch party.
And much like Brad Vang from Hardcore, you have to wonder why he even exists. But kind of like it's like a kind of tradition. Like every Contra game has to have the weird mutant character.
As you do.
It's like because Rogue Core has a panda robot thing, cyborg.
Yeah.
And it also has a cyborg that also has an alien symbiote for some reason. But apparently, Brownie is easy difficulty, and normal is Plissken. Like that's how you unlock the other two characters.
Yeah, yeah. At least you get something for finishing easy, unlike most of these games.
And it's also more forgiving, because you have unlimited continues.
Yeah.
So, instead of doing instant continues, you have to restart the level over again. So there's a balance there.
Yeah, like, you have to learn the level you're on, you just don't have to learn any of the ones you've already beaten.
Also, much like Castlevania Rebirth, does have a save feature of sorts, where if you hold down right at the title screen, it'll let you load up the last level you beat. So, but you can play through this game in one sitting, because there's only four levels in the game.
I thought there was a couple more than that. Yeah, but...
I think the fifth level is just, like, a very short level, though.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But, like the other Rebirth games, this is very, very back to basics. Mm-hmm.
Only two weapons, and lives, no hit points, and each character doesn't have their own specific weapon sets.
It's very much, The M2 Rebirth trilogy was very much like, let's just make another game in that style that doesn't rock the boat too much. And this, well, it does that. You'll get
I don't
some
know.
Contra.
This game kind of does rock the boat because it carries some of Neo Contra's insanity with it. Because the third level of the game has you on a Humvee, I guess. And then there's robotic camels that come along. And then there's this robot that's looks like a missile that's shooting other missiles at you. And then there's like a fuck ton of them that comes at the end of the level.
On the one hand, that is completely insane, but on the other hand, it's not like mechanically insane.
Also, the first level is you being in a space station and the space station being attacked. But then again, Contra 4 had a section where you were jumping on sections of a giant missile that eventually crashes, and then you fight the boss.
like these are all great, like, insane set pieces, but they don't play in a way that's, like, completely alien or, like, completely unexpected for Contra. It's very mechanically tried and true.
But the weapons in this game are the spread shot, the laser gun, and the homing gun. No flamethrower.
I remember these.
No flamethrower, surprisingly.
Bit of a shame, but...
But I think there's a barrier in this game, but I'm not entirely certain.
I'd have to play it again, but...
Also, much like the other games in the series, if you play on easy, you can't get to the final level.
As you do.
But easy is the only way to get brownie, so play on easy, then play on normal.
Yeah, you get something for finishing on easy. That's more than most.
Here's the weird plot of the game. It says, in 2633, the Neo Salamander Force, led by the mysterious leader Chief Salamander, travels back to 1973 to take out the Contra Force. While the Earth defenses are still primitive, they end up setting base on the ruins of the Shizuoka Temple at Yucatan Peninsula in Central America. Why is a Japanese temple doing in...
Don't think about it.
Bill Reiser and the samurai gang Yagyu apparently also time traveled to this time period to save the day. Are deployed by the Galactic President, because apparently there's only a single...
Did we have one of those in 1973?
No. But,
oh, they're ordered to travel back in time. Okay,
yeah. and then they have help with a different Brownie, the robot, or maybe Brownie just got a sex change, because it's a robot, so why not?
Robots have no concept of gender.
They do if they have their own self-identity, though.
I suppose. I'm surprised they would make a military
robot. They wanted their outsides to reflect their insides.
I remember Persona 3. I've seen the bit. Yeah, I'm surprised that they would put that on a military robot, but good for you, Brownie.
But Plissken, a lizard-like alien...
just along for the ride.
Who's apparently a defector from the Neo Salamander Force.
That's why it's a lizard.
Also, I can't help but think that Salamander is a direct reference to that game.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. No questions.
But despite this, you fight a final boss that's somewhat similar to the Black Viper boss you fight in Contra 4. It's like for an organization called the Neo Salamander Force, they look more alien than do Salamander. But it's a fun game.
Yeah, it's good.
You could beat it in like 20 minutes. But yeah, that does it for Contra.
Until Rogue Corps comes out.
Yeah, and then we'll do the final episode where we talk about Blazing Chrome, Rogue Corps, and Contra clones, of which there are many, but we're going to talk about the key ones.
Yeah, but it just means I'm going to yell about Metal Slug.
Or games that
minutes.
Inspired Contra, like Commando.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Commando, Mercs, that sort of thing.
Specifically, Mercs is a bomb, like, bomb that destroys everything, which in Super Contra is the Hyper Shell.
Yeah, continuing the long rival of Capcom Konami, where one of them would make something and the other would make a response game.
But that won't be for, like, at least a month from now. So
we gotta wait until we've all played Rogue Corps and been confused by it.
Yeah. Be like, why did this happen?
Why did this happen the way that it did?
What a science fraud.
Was science allowed into this?
But I'm going to do a small little PSA. The demo of Dragon Quest XI's Echoes of Elusive Age is out on the Switch eShop. And it is a beefy one at 10 hours.
Just in case you weren't sure after the first 7 hours whether you
Which
still
will save you time
Dragon
when the final game comes out, because the save data carries over.
Yeah, like, it's good. It's a very generous...
So it's less of a demo and more of a... We're giving you the full game, but only, like, a slice of it.
Yeah. I always like that kind of demo, so, I mean, I'm not against that.
Which I remember in Japan, Bravely Default let you play up to Chapter 5, which is essentially the end of the game, because the game just goes in a loop section, and plot doesn't happen until the characters realize they're in a loop, which... You dummies, why did it take you 5 other chapters if you did the same goddamn thing that realized you were in a loop and you need to do something different?
Like, at that point, like, it's just holding the ending hostage.
It's 20 hours of petting the game did not need. Maybe it's more than 20 hours, considering the fact that you want to level up good enough that you won't die at the final boss.
Yeah, it's... I'm not a huge fan.
You could have just rebalanced the final boss, you know? That's all.
You could have. No, nothing could stop you. No power in this world could have stopped you. Let's go do some data manage.
But until next time, see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.